Right then, Adam. So what we're discussing today, mate, we're discussing esports, the esports audience, and how it's kind of a misnomer. And I wanted to start, if you don't mind, buddy, by quoting a certain respected esports journalist. Executives who think they can tap into the esports audience don't really understand the industry because there is not an esports audience. Do you know who said that?
No.
It's you.
Oh, fuck. Is it?
It's you. It's you and your Dexerto or Deserto, however you fucking say that outlet.
As you're reading out, I was like, oh, he's spitting. This guy's spitting.
Yeah, well, that's from an article you wrote in January this year.
This year?
I think so, yeah. January 2022. Is that when you wrote it?
I left that year as well. I mean, I left that month. That year, fuck me. I left that month, so I can't remember writing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds about right.
Well, I remember. Yeah, yeah, that was one of the last ones you wrote, wasn't it?
What's the article called?
Esports doesn't exist or something, or the esports audience doesn't exist. Which, so I wanted to start there because I feel like that pretty well summarizes both of our beliefs on this.
And it could well be the title of this video, to be fair. Probably a controversial title, so.
Well, that's what was good about it. I remember it sparking a bit of conversation at the time, didn't it? On LinkedIn and that. I swear there was a lot of people it definitely got a good response. I remember that. But yeah, no, so I read it before again, and I just really agreed with that. So I'll read it again. Executives who think they can tap into the esports audience don't really understand the industry because there is not an esports audience. That's so true because I think the main point that we both want to make is that each esports title is completely different, first of all, and the esports audience is spread so disproportionately. So you've got, in the West, let's just stick with the West for now, you've got League of Legends, Counter-Strike. In the CIS region, you've got like Dota 2, which is still massive. I think it definitely was about a year ago. And now obviously you've got Valorant. So that's four now. And I'm going to go into quote, not to be too up my own ass, but I'm going to quote a couple from my own article that I wrote, Free Sports Insider, just over a year ago. And things have changed a bit since then because I was basically talking about how all the value, even though we see it as the esports audience, and that's how executives who don't really know anything about gaming see it, the esports audience, the fucking much referenced Nuzu stat of 495 million esports fans. I think that was in like 2020 or something. But that's just spread so thin across. Well, it's spread disproportionately. So you got a couple of titles that have got a massive audience and then loads that have got a dead small audience. Either way, there is no esports audience. They're completely different sports. That's how it needs to be seen. There's also a link that I'll need to find in a second. That essentially suggests, it studied the crossover between esports titles as well. And it's like some of it is like 10% or less. You know, like I think you mentioned this in your piece as well. Like somebody that's into League of Legends in Asia is not the same demographic as somebody that is into COD or watches Warzone or watches Pro COD. Or pro Gears of War and just fucking loves flaming people and like loves the testosterone fueled kind of thing.
Trying to activate to those two audiences with the same piece of content, the same strategies it's not gonna be effective, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's just where I wanted to start. Give people at least my view to begin with, and basically, I think we both agree, don't we, that the idea that there is an esports audience is a bit misleading and it can lead to maybe inflated valuations and things like that. And you would hope that most executives know that when they look at it and they still make investments based on that assumption and make that, but a lot haven't. Like there's been a lot of investments, you would presume, that have just seen the numbers and been like, yeah, we want to be part of that industry. It's not really an industry. That's just a useful thing we have, a useful framework to approach the space. But it's like I said, it's not really an industry, is it?
No, but While I would like to think most people go away from thinking that there is an esports audience now. If you look at even the comments in press releases when they announce new investments or a new partnership, they'll say the esports audience is highly blah blah blah, and we want to tap into this audience. But it's if you think you can tap into I don't know, say 500 million people, right? And then you go and sponsor, I don't know, Atlanta FaZe, just Atlanta FaZe.
Exactly.
Look, you're not getting that 495 people. You're maybe getting access to outside of the FaZe connection, maybe 200,000 people. Mm-hmm. So if you go into that thinking, oh, I'm hitting millions of people with this shit, the amount of people that are going to engage with this is going to be sick. It's not the case. Yeah. I feel like one of the uses of generalizing esports so much is for the, I've tried to look at the positive of it. One is good to track growth of the industry as a whole, as much as you can through Newzoo reports and stuff, right? It gives you a rough idea maybe of what's what. It's useful to track growth, just like it's useful to track reading consumption or book consumption year on year, but you're not going to compare a book written by Ross Kemp versus one written by Douglas Murray or something. It's just not the case, but it's still interesting to know how many people are reading. Same as it's interesting to know how many people generally or estimated wise are enjoying esports or engaging in some way. That is useful.
Yeah.
In that sense, but you can't use it as gospel by any means.
No.
And also it's good to disingenuously frame the capability of a partnership, or if you get involved with us, then you're tapping into this highly sought after esports audience, which, you know, very young demographic, but they're in their 20s now, so they can afford to spend a decent amount. They'll buy your product if you go with us. I feel like it's good for disingenuous framing like that, which is obviously what we want to get away from in this industry, because we don't need to scare off more sponsors and partners. We want more good sponsors and partners. And while that may reduce the value, if you're more realistic and accurate about what you're quoting and what they have access to, that's better in the long run, I feel. And it'll be a more effective partnership and activation, which could then be more fruitful in the future. It may expand.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So they're the only reasons I can pin to it being worthwhile us doing it.
Yeah.
Scamming people, I agree. And just a brief overview of what's what.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree that on the whole, collating those stats is useful for a lot of different purposes. And I also agree, though, that orgs take those numbers to potential sponsors and things to inflate it. And the point you made about COD, you think you're tapping into this multi-million user audience market, when in reality, if you sponsor Atlanta Fit, that's so perfect. So this is why I was on my phone just then. I'm going to read a quote from my own article, which I know is a bit fucking bad.
Well, you've read one from mine, so we might as well be fully self-indulgent. Well,
So on what you said, I think I wrote this in January 2021, so it was a while ago, but a lot of it still stands. Some of it doesn't, because Valorant has just kind of shot to the top, but I'll explain my thoughts there anyway. So I wrote, when do we expect the hundreds of millions of Western gamers that play Call of Duty, FIFA, Fortnite, Overwatch, and so on, that do not currently care about esports, to start caring? The answer might be that for most titles, they won't. These titles have accrued enormous player bases over many years, and yet their pro scenes lag behind. If the Call of Duty League were assessed on its own merits and not seen as part of a burgeoning ecosystem, would investors have forked out tens of millions for a spot in the franchise league? When scrutinized, it becomes clear that COD Esports is built on shaky ground. Our bunching together of the esports industry is dictating the value of specific titles, not the other way around. So basically, my point is that it's disproportionate. We see it as this whole thing, and yet, again, the audience is heavily, heavily skewed towards League and CSGO, and now, I guess, Valorant and Rocket League's doing well. But it is still concentrated, and it always will be concentrated because some will be more popular than others, but... So then anyway, I go on to say, despite the relentlessly positive forecasts, how much of the industry will be salvageable without League and CSGO? Again, you can tweet that a bit these days. When we wax lyrical about the esports steeplechase, at least in the West, we are selling tickets en masse for a two-horse race in which one is a clear favourite. And then I mentioned that Dota is massive and CIS still, but that's kind of a separate point for now.
Yeah.
League and CSGO are, to some extent, the Western esports industry. And then I wrote, this may change in the coming years, such as the fast-paced nature of the sector. And obviously it has, because you've got Valorant that's now huge, which is like the main one I can think of. And that was focused on the West as well. I want to clarify, because you've got like mobile titles that are just smashing it in Asia, like just fucking ridiculous viewership, like blowing even League out of the water.
But even though Valorant has done well, like it's still like CS and Valorant add them together, it's not reaching League numbers at all. Like that really is the one place you want to be, and it's the place that's probably one of the hardest to get into, effectively, because it's so closed off and entirely controlled by Tencent.
And the reason I spelled it out like that, I guess, just to wrap up the point, is that, like you were saying, you think you're sponsoring this big thing, when in reality, most of the value is in League of Legends in the West. Like, that's where it is. That's where almost everything else, from which everything else grows. So you've got a sponsor that wants to sponsor the CDL because they feel like, oh, it's franchised, or it might be big, or this, the industry's huge, like, people will be interested, will be able to, like you said, good age to purchase. But, like, even for COD, it's already one of the biggest games in the world, and yet its esports audience is tiny, relatively speaking. So there's no value there, or there's little value there. And is it worth what companies have spent on it? I'm not so sure. And if it wasn't lumped into this collective thing, this bundle, we probably wouldn't value it the same.
No.
So I think that's the general point.
Part of the value in a set, or like part of the perceived value, or what dupes companies, I believe, may be the fact that, oh, well, there's no way 12 organizations are banging in 25 million into a league if there's not huge plans down the line, and if they don't believe it's going to be the next big thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's almost like something there where it's like, well, there's no way they're all that stupid. We're missing something here. Like, though it's getting 100k viewership now concurrent, or peak even, like, they must have some long-term fucking plan where that is not particularly the case, as we see now with Overwatch League, with how fucked that's been. Obviously, the pandemic didn't help too much, but I mean, it was clapped before that. But I think there's maybe even a bit of just like, well, there's no way they're that stupid to pay 60 mil to get an expansion team in the Overwatch League, so it must be sound. We'll get into that. Yeah. This audience must be mad valuable that they've got right now, and Overwatch 2's coming. Oh my God, that's going to... It's gonna blow this whole thing up. But even if you say you get into League of Legends, a lot of the actual value for, I guess, like viewership on your brand and stuff, say you want to be a jersey sponsor, is getting to Worlds, MSI to a lesser degree, but definitely Worlds. So say you like sponsor Fnatic, because they're huge as they are, right? But then, oh, they're locked to go into Worlds effectively. There's no way, they're just the top team. That's that. If they miss out on that one year, like, Fnatic's not at the CSGO major right now. Like, that's a big fucking loss, as it is, and that's a lot of the value, which I imagine they would effectively quote numbers based on the fact that historically we're there every year, so it's pretty much a lot going to get in this year. We smashed it in the spring split, so therefore summer split is guaranteed. There's just so many ways you can quickly erode like the overall value, I guess, and the amount of people you can actually reach, which is a bit mad. So even League of Legends in itself is the biggest we've got. But even then, it's only for a select few, I feel like. You can bet on T1, you can bet on G2, a couple of the others, but outside of that, it's shaky then.
Yeah, 100%. And if you compare that to like traditional sports, I mean, I don't know loads about it, but if you look at, say, the NFL, at the very least, the bad teams will have games on TV, so they'll get TV revenue.
Yeah.
And I think the NFL has a revenue sharing model where they share everything that every team earns, you know. So like even if the Patriots earn way more than the Bengals, I'm pretty sure anyway, they share it. So
I fucking hate that. I don't know if they still do it in Overwatch League, but they did at the beginning.
Right.
So when Shanghai Dragons in the first season, they went 0-42, if I remember correctly. They would get the same revenue share off of merchandise sales as Dallas Fuel or San Francisco Shock or Houston Outlaws, who are like the big ones out of the gate. They would get the same share. And I understand it from a, oh, we're all in this together point of view. But like, if I'm contributing more in terms of more resources for players. I've got better coaching. My players are, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm putting more in, I want to get fucking more out. I don't want to be sharing it. So yeah. I fucking hate that. But I can understand why there's a positive there. It kind of like, if the league's growing as a whole, then each ship is getting elevated with the tide, right? The rising tide of the league, I suppose.
Which there's definitely an argument for that. I guess with esports, it might be a bit more difficult because none of the teams are super safe in terms of like earning money. Like, I mean, being profitable, definitely not. And I know they'll have sponsorship revenue as like a backwater, but
I think there's no organization you could. I would put 100% of my money on as a safe bet to exist in 10 years. There's not one, because exactly. it takes one scandal for, I don't know, Nadeshot gets caught up in something at 100 Thieves, and if it's something particularly bad, that could literally cause the downfall of the entire brand, which is just, according to Forbes, like, grown more than any organization over the past 2 years by a dramatic amount. Like, I don't think any team is particularly safe right now or established to the point where there's no way we run out of money now. But then again, you look at La Liga, like the amount of money they lost in the La Liga. Yeah. Obviously, there was a pandemic going on, but like 60% of the loss that year, which was a dramatic loss, like came from one club. And it's like, fuck me. And I assume that was either Barca or Madrid, right? So Barca were very close to things not going well, and obviously lost Messi in that. But like even the big established ones in footy, which you see as a typically fruitful thing because of the TV rights especially, it can be a madness there. So I don't think it's any safer in hashtag esports.
Nope.
No. Esports, which doesn't exist. It's good for a collective term for the industry we work in, I find, and that is about it. But like, I've never heard someone say they're like, oh, I've maybe heard a couple of people say they're a sports fan, and I immediately question it. I'm like, wait, so you watch bowling and bowls and darts? Oh, you're a fan of dressage as well? Like, and what's your favorite rugby union team? Yeah. Like, is you need that specificity,
whatever that word is. You definitely do. I do think it exists. Like, people are big gamers, so therefore they'll watch all kinds of esports. That definitely exists and is a thing. Like, that's me summarized right there. But like, I completely agree with you. Like,
do you watch it as a fan or someone who's interested in the industry?
I guess a bit of both. It depends, and that's the thing. Yeah, I do actually. I pay attention to a few different titles, but I do still have my favorites.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, and you're right. Most people are fans of a title or a couple of titles at most. Like, they're not bothered about the industry.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it in another video, didn't we? Where like there'll be some diehard fans of organizations that do follow results across games, but you're not going to be able to, like, I don't think, actively engage. Say, like, if you follow Team Liquid and they're in 14 titles, I don't think you're going to be able to actively engage in the community of 14 competitive games. You know what I mean? And really be what you'd call a fan, per se. You're more a fan of the team at that point.
Yeah.
And there's not too many of them, though, from what I can see. It seems as they're more fans of players, which is obviously very game-specific, unless they're hopping from CS to Valorant, which is a rare thing anyway. So.
And that's the thing. You hear this, like, people invest in orgs because they're kind of banking on them becoming the next Man United or whatever. And so it's worth a few pennies just throw at it and hope that that's what it becomes. But is that going to happen if an org is spread across different titles? Like, I don't know. I just feel like the reason Man United are massive is because they've been hyper successful in the most popular sport in the world. Whereas G2, they're massive. They're like, relative to esports, they're huge. They're doing really well. They seem to have a real like identity across the board, like, across titles, across like the, obviously Carlos and stuff. But I don't know. I'm skeptical that it can lead to the same level of fandom if it's across different titles. Like, you'll have mad, you know, Fnatic in League of Legends is pretty storied at this point. Like, that's cool. Like, they've got a legit history in that game. So you've got Fnatic League fans. But again, like, if you take Fnatic to a different, they'll have fans always. They'll always have more fans than the lesser team. But like, is the affinity the same when you spread it across?
It doesn't seem to be, because like, they're in Halo and nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody gives a shit.
I say
exactly.
Nobody. Most people ignore the fuck out of it, and viewership's not really there, even though it's a new title. I think they're one of the partner teams. Like, they should, in theory, be excited, but it doesn't translate that way.
Doesn't. It never does. And like, I think I've used this example like twice before on this podcast, but like Optic, when they were in CSGO, I remember this so clearly. Like, when they played in COD, they have a history in COD, so the viewership just went... Mm-hmm. It blew up. Every time they play, the viewership like doubles, or maybe even more than doubles sometimes. Counter-Strike, they were just getting normal views for that tournament. Like, nothing changed. So
yeah. Because there's only a few diehard fuckers, naturally, right? Mm-hmm. It's like not 100% of the people that follow your Twitter account are fans per se, like real fans. Like, if you look at the word, like fanatical people about your organization.
Exactly. Like, I probably follow G2, XL, Fnatic, all these, and would I say I'm a fan of any of them? I'm not sure. I like the British ones just because I like rooting for the British teams, like XL and Fnatic. But I'm not a fan. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't even. I don't follow a single team on Twitter. No. I have a list. And I haven't gone through in about a year. Same with TOs as well, but like my timeline is fucking beautiful, mate. But one thing I wanted to mention that I think is a good trend is, I guess it's specifically on Twitter for the most part, but it could work elsewhere, on YouTube. I think I'm seeing it as well, where organizations are creating new social new social handles for the games they're in.
Mm.
Which makes a lot more sense to me. Say you're G2 and you've got that one Twitter account to serve all of the games you're in, all of the influencers. It's very hard to engage a specific community there. If we're saying each esport has its own community, which it does for sure, it's very hard. Like, everything has to be general and open, or you're not going to get the engagement you could get effectively. Like, the engagement rate on a Valorant specific esports Twitter account versus the G2 account as a whole, it's going to be very different. If you create G2 Valorant on Twitter, you can go super hard in how you reference things and what you post. Everything can be about the G2 Valorant team. You can build better bonds with the players. You can have little referential memes that people wouldn't get outside of it, but in this little inside club of G2 Valorant fans, they all get it. Engagement rate's going to be banging. So, like, Team Liquid have it for some of the titles they're in. I know they've got a Valorant-specific YouTube channel, which was doing very well, and they're like, YouTube strategist just left to join Energy, which is somewhat interesting. But, yeah, like, if Manchester United, like, entered fucking handball, just looking at it in an esports terms, if they enter a new title, which obviously it can't go that way, like, they wouldn't have the same fucking at and same account for everything they're in, you know what I mean? It'd be individual on each one. You build it up that way. So I understand. I remember, it gets a bit messy that way, of course. Like, if I want to see everything that G2 does, I can't necessarily, like, if they go the route I just suggested, then it's hard to do that by following them on Twitter, which is somewhat an appealing thing. You get to keep up with everything, but I think you can get richer engagement, deeper fan building opportunities, and also it's better for partners and stuff as well if they want to get really targeted with who they're going for. If they understand they want European Valorant fans, well, G2's the biggest European organization by some metrics, and they also do well in Valorant. So, oh look, there's this account which is literally a hotbed of European Valorant fans. There we go. We can do that instead of just going at the whole G2 account, in which they'll charge more for because there's more followers and more impressions and stuff, you know. I think that's the trend we'll continue to see, and I think it makes sense because segmentation is nothing new in fucking marketing by any means, of course, and advertisement. I think it's a remedy to the broadness and generalization of esports.
Yeah, I remember I used to be pretty torn on that. On do you split? Do you target each community? But I guess it just makes so much sense. Like, you've kind of convinced me there talking about it. Like, if we really do believe that there are different communities within esports, then you need to target each one, and that includes social media. So yeah, agreed. Maybe that's
hard to please all of the Valorant fans that follow G2 if you're also having to post match updates for League of Legends and memes for CS:GO. And also talk about the sim racing you're doing. Like, your generic main account can still retweet like the main stuff from each channel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not like they have to be entirely disconnected. I understand you want everything in one place. It makes you look stronger if you've got 400,000 followers on Twitter instead of 8 different accounts with 50K. Mm. I understand the optics there and how it looks, but I think it goes beyond that. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, how do we really engage these people and build like real fans?
Yeah.
And I think that makes sense. So I think we'll see more of it. I think Cloud9 did one for their CSGO roster that they picked up recently, right? Because they bought like X-Gambit.
Oh yeah,
Shiro
oh,
and yeah, such, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And they their first tweet was like the popular meme about like the Boston Major saying don't let Cloud9 creating a new CS:GO account distract you from the fact that FaZe blew a 15 whatever lead at the E League Boston Major. Do you know what I mean? Like it just worked, and they've maybe only got 7K followers right now, but you know those 7K people that are interested in the Cloud9 CS:GO team, and that's valuable, I think. Mm-hmm. Having that knowledge and kind of certainty in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So I think if we're just going to kind of wrap up mm-hmm. the general topic, I guess just in terms of a solution, I think in a solution to the, what we might see as a problem of the esports industry being collated too much, when in fact it's very separate. There are separate pillars within that. I think, to be honest, executives, especially like investors, pundits, like everyone just needs to be aware of it, I think, and needs to think about it in those terms. And I guess once they are, like, what happens to org valuations? What happens to the value of sports leagues? Maybe, and like I said, maybe there are, I'm sure there are plenty of people that are considering this, people that are responsible for partnerships at TOs and orgs and people that do invest. I'm sure plenty of them are doing this and thinking in these ways, but I guess generally we maybe just need to approach it more specifically if we want to actually take a legit, trustable temperature of the industry. Like, I acknowledge that it is separate, and I just think people need to be more aware of it and think about it more, and then from there we should make our valuations and make our judgments.
I think so. And I also, I don't know, even with valuations and stuff, though, I don't like them too much, because say FaZe is worth $1 billion, right, which they're not, but say a lot of that came from the fact they owned the franchise slot in the CDL. I don't know, say it was of immense value. What happens if they sell that off in two years? Like, there's so many risky things with it all, you know what I mean? But you know Man U is always going to be in football. Unless the club ceases to exist, and at that point, that's a very different thing you have to deal with. But like, they're just I don't know, like forecasting in esports and stuff, you can't forecast the entry of a new game that comes in and just takes off like a Valorant, and you can't you can't forecast the loss of an esports scene. Gears of War wasn't big, but like the Coalition are stopping the competitive support there. What happens if that's the case for Fortnite, or I don't know, Rocket League? What if Epic Games and Psyonix are just like, you know what, like this isn't working, we'll just have this casual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that fucks up so much looking forward. That's why I'd rather keep things on a case-by-case basis, to be fair.
Yeah, it's very unpredictable, isn't it?
Yes.
that was one of the things I was going to say, is what you just touched on there. Like,
I'm sorry, mate.
A new title. No, I mean, I forgot, to be honest. Like, a new title could come around, and like the bottom line, for publishers, the bottom line, the money they earn for the shareholders and all that shit. I mean, not necessarily shite, but that's just the way it is. That's always going to come before the health of an esports scene for esports' sake. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the money is always going to come first. And so publishers, what happens if esports revenue slows down? Then they might release a new game that tries to be a revamp of this one that doesn't have as much of an esportsy appeal. Then all of a sudden the orgs have to drop off. Can they sign long agreements with esports orgs? Because that then might hamstring them and mean that they can't do what they want in terms of creative direction for new games and things like that. So it's really unpredictable, and it's really like, it's just tough to call where it's going to go, I guess.
Which I'm fine with. I mean, I imagine it's going to, we have more conservative and reserved estimations of where it's going to be in the next few years, which I think is the right step. And there's going to be more consolidation and stuff, I feel, like the Optic and Envy stuff. I found it weird at first, but I think it makes some sense now. Though I'd just bang everything of Envy on the competitive front under Optic, and then just have Envy as like some content lifestyle brand or something. But regardless, yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel specific. I can't say the word. Being specific, I'm having a proper brain fart today. Being specific is better for everybody in the long run, even if it fucks with your paper up front, because you can, like, there's less smoke and mirrors around numbers and how things can perform and how many people you can reach. Like, you're going to be able to market to fans better, which is better for you and better for fans. Like, if we know how specifically games are performing in particular regions, we can then, there's so much you can do with that information, but literally, as we were speaking a little bit before this, like, there's not really that information out there. There's not a resource that breaks down esports title by title and then region by region and then age or anything, right? So, and I guess that there's so many different like stakeholders in the industry, as well as not like one governing body that can just have all those numbers reported to it and then dish it out. It's fragmented like a motherfucker, and you have to get information across Twitch and YouTube, and then if you go into the Easters, do you and who you and whatever else they fucking watch on through their bots and all that shit, you know. It's just like, I feel like having actual data, well, I know it would help us in many ways, but instead we're stuck to just saying esports $1 billion industry. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And FaZe valued at $1 billion. Not true. 400 mil apparently, but even then, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just feels like we're still, there's still a lot of maturing to do, of course, which we know it's only like, what, 20 years and like 20 years old, and really in terms of being professional, probably 10 years old when it's not so much the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of this stuff will probably come, but I feel like it would benefit us more to get onto this stuff sooner and start being a bit more precise and thoughtful about how we communicate our points and try and discuss games and scenes in the industry as a whole.
Yeah, agreed. Good points.
But what, I actually forgot I wrote that article, man. I completely forgot. And you read it out, and I was like, that's not
well,
that's, but you say this year. I need to check that, by the way.
I think so, yeah. I saw January 22, yeah.
I was like, what's a really inflammatory title? Esports fans don't exist.
Yeah, I remember seeing that for the first time. I was like, I know exactly what he's going to say with that. That's what I mean. So, that's what I was going to say. So, shall we link? So, I quoted myself and I quoted you because we're up our own asses. Shall we put both?
It's because we're the best resources, mate. Actually,
yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we can link those.
We'll put them in the description box, yeah, so people can read. Because I still think mine's a year and a half old. Yours is only a few months old, but mine still stands up fairly well. If you swap out a lot of the CSGO and League, it's a little bit been disrupted, but it's still not really.
Mine was also January 2021, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah, I just checked.
Stop it.
Nah, legit.
I don't believe you.
100%. People will see it when they click it in the description anyway.
What?
So now we've just found out that the stud cannot read.
Well, there you go. And also, who copied who?
Well, I didn't copy you.
I didn't copy you, bitch.
That's all I can say, man. Oh, Jesus Christ. No, I think the... we both naturally arrived to that point, and that's what helps. Like, and well, that's why it's good that we have this together. Like, because we're both, I think, naturally arrived at roughly the same points on a lot of the key topics.
We're the thinking man's journalists.
I don't even think myself anymore at the moment, to be honest with you, mate. But I was definitely thinking back then, which is nice. Yep. I might actually give it a read
after some stage.
See how fucking awful it is.
Nah, it's good. You make some really good points.
There we go. And so
I to lick your ass again, but there you go. It's true.
I always appreciate when you lick my ass, mate. It's one of my favourite. That's a madness. Clip that out of context.
On that note.
Well, one last thing I wanted to touch on very quickly. I think I mentioned it before, but is esports a sport, or is League of Legends a sport, COD a sport, Rocket League a sport? Like, because I think that kind of blends into it as well with the generalisation again of saying esports is its own thing. It is a tangible product.
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's not.
Yeah, and I'm definitely guilty of saying that it is a sport, like writing in articles that it's a sport and all that stuff.
Well, that's just like the typical narrative, though, isn't it?
That's it's really easy to do that. Like, it's you sound a bit like snarky. Oh, well, actually, individual sports within esports, like, you sound like a bit of a dickhead if you did that shit. Yeah. But maybe as we go along, like, yeah, just encouraging that, at least encouraging people to think in those terms, you know, like, yeah, I was saying before, like, they reflect better individual sports, they really do, as opposed to a single entity, because it's not.
There's a third option there, actually. So is esports a sport? Are individual titles sports, or are individual titles just esports? I'm the last one's probably the least controversial. you know what I mean? If you just say, like, because the sport...
You mean technically?
There are benefits to esports being seen as sports, with, like, the visas out in Germany and stuff, where, like, you can actually get into the country
I think it just makes so much sense to say that they are sports, yeah. And I think, you know, do we consider snooker and darts a sport? Yeah. So
some don't. That's the thing.
I mean, yeah. I think that's a very pointless debate, personally.
Yeah. But I don't give a fuck, personally.
Yeah, me neither. And, like, who is it that did the ad? Have you seen the ad, the League of Legends ad, where it's like, esports isn't a sport, and then all of the casters just start, like, resigning, and you got fucking Quickshot.
Sounds like an LEC one, for sure, yeah.
I think it was, yeah. Yeah. It was really good.
I avoid LEC clips and adverts and stuff like the play. Are you not
a League fan?
I don't care for the game, really.
I love watching it. I never play it, but I love watching it.
It just don't really, because I don't understand the intricacies of each, like, legend, I suppose they're called, but, like, characters in the game. Like, I don't understand it. Yeah, why is it League of Legends, but then they're called champions? That's fucking clapped. Yeah. But no, so I'm not really into it. But, like, yeah, I got forced to watch an LEC segment once, and it was them rapping or singing or some shit, and it was the worst thing I'd ever watched. So I refused to give it a chance anymore, because it's like, oh, if this is what esports is, then I'm not working in this fucking thing.
I'm not familiar with that, but I have seen, like, LEC. The LEC does actually do a lot of, like, really interesting ad campaigns and stuff. Like,
yeah,
they've
got good agencies working on them.
Have they? Yeah. Well, it seems to be, because, yeah. I've noticed that a lot, like, ads and different activations. I mean, I'm not sure about rapping and all that shit, but, like,
they have got
good talent as well, like Shox and people like that, Cadrill. They are legit. So yeah.
That's fair. I still think I still think the game's pretty shit. But I mean, I've never played it, so I could. But, like, I haven't watched a game of the major yet. I haven't watched a single game in the CS major yet. No, not yet.
Yeah, no, I've not actually. That started the other day, didn't it?
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. We'll be getting into the Legends, like, the last stage soon, won't we? So.
Oh, yeah. And MSI's on as well, isn't it? I've not watched any of that either.
No.
I think it's in Korea, so it might be on now, actually. Nice.
But, like, they've got some teams playing remotely and some not. Mm. So it's like 35 ping playing some teams and stuff. Asian Games were supposed to be going on, and there was something around that, maybe to do with quarantining and stuff, but then,
oh my god, yeah, China's like back. Fully locked down, isn't it? So is that,
yeah, so
some players are on LAN and some aren't,
yeah, oh yeah, which god, is obviously a bit of a competitive integrity threat,
yeah,
in my mind, like,
because it's better than in the team, so presumably only one team would have to split between LAN and online, but I suppose that's better for them to just try that and see how it goes than to.
But, like, they don't have the pressure of playing in a studio and all that shit.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah, true.
Which may not be much at this point. If you're Faker or something, it's probably not going to bother you too much. But, like, yeah, like, Monte Cristo was tweeting about it quite a bit, so that's where I got it from. I'm not too up to scratch on the nooks and crannies there.
No.
But that's a madness. But, yeah, anyway, that's episode 6. That's the 6th video, I think. Yeah. I think it is.
6, wow.
Of Cyber Athletics. And,
tell you what, son.
Oh, why didn't we suggest... Why not changing it from esports to cyber athletics? That should have been the main thing we suggested. If we're going to generalize, at least generalize to cyber athletics and link to our YouTube channel.
You know, we've spoken about the thing that definitely won't work, the Olympic-style competition. Maybe we can make that, get funding for it, call it cyber athletics. Unbelievable.
I'll let you take the lead on that one, mate.
Yeah? Okay, that's fine.
I'll draw up a logo in paint. That'll take me about 6 months, and then we can go from there, mate. Yeah. At least get this shit coin out first anyway. So.
Yeah. Good episode.
Appreciate it. Thank you all for watching. We'll catch you on the next one in a few days, I'm sure.